Aye.
All right, it's approved. At this time, we'll hear public and employee comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics: issues under negotiations as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyle, or belief of individuals employed by or associated with the university, grievances of individual students or employees, or any personnel matters. Comments shall be limited to 2 minutes. The board will call speakers who have signed up prior to the meeting. Ms. Bates, does anyone sign up?
No.
All right. Signed up. So no individuals have signed up. We will move on. Next, we'll go to the approval of the previous board minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes of March 6th, which were in the board materials in your board effect book? If there's no corrections, I move to approve the March 6th, 2023 minutes. And is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you. Approve the minutes, and next on the agenda is President Scott.
Good morning, Chair Zott and members of the Board of Trustees. I'm happy to welcome you to campus today and just to provide a really brief update on university activities. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge Essence Smart for her service as she prepares to transition out of her position as student trustee. She has been dedicated to Chicago State and has been passionate about her commitment to improving the Chicago State student experience. I look forward to witnessing what comes next in Essence's journey. I'd also like to congratulate and welcome James Elam, our newly elected student trustee, who will be going through an orientation sometime this summer prior to his first board meeting in September. I am pleased to share that the university recently completed its... I'm pleased to share that the university recently completed its 370th commencement. This year's commencement celebrated summer 22, fall 22, and spring 23 graduates. Activities surrounding our commencement included our annual honors convocation, the athletic department students stole ceremony, a College of Pharmacy hooding ceremony, and a pre-commencement reception that was held at the university residence to honor our commencement speaker, Dr. Ngozi Ezeki, and to also honor this year's honorary degrees recipient, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and Knight Chair of Race and Journalism at Howard University, Nicole Hannah-Jones. I'd like to thank Chair Zopp and other members of the Board of Trustees and members of the Chicago State Foundation Board of Trustees for joining us and providing a warm welcome on behalf of our board. I'd also like to thank each of the trustees who joined us to celebrate our graduates and during our commencement ceremony. I want to speak a little bit about a new relationship for the university, a continuing relationship in some respects. University is continuing to cultivate intentional relationships with corporate and community partners. In March, I highlighted our engagement with United Airlines and their support of our student success. I'm happy to report that 8 Chicago State students were hired by United Airlines this summer following successful interviews. 6 students will complete paid summer internships throughout the company, while 1 student was offered a full-time position in United's Human Resources Department, and another recent graduate will be entering a rotational leadership program with the company. In addition, United has recommitted to providing $10,000 in travel support for the university's men's and women's golf teams. I'd like to thank United for their commitment to our students and their long-term success. I'd like to conclude my remarks by sharing that you will hear from our VP of Enrollment Management this morning, who will share important updates about how our enrollment will likely grow this fall. And I'm happy to conclude my board report and answer any questions that the board might have. Thank you.
Are there any questions for President Scott? All right. Congratulations on the graduation was terrific. And, the remarks by Dr. Ezeki and by Nicole Hannah-Jones were really wonderful. So congratulations. All right. We're going to university reports. And Dr. Roundtree, you are up.
Good morning.
As the president has highlighted, we had a successful end to our academic year 22-23, and we're moving forward with summer and planning for our next upcoming year. In alignment with our strategic plan, one of the areas that we've been looking at over the last year is the structure of our university and our academic programs. And I do want to report that we have officially consolidated the College of Health Sciences and the College of Pharmacy. That new college will be called the College of Health Sciences and Pharmacy, and we have appointed Dean Matthew Fate as the permanent dean for that college. This will enable us to build some efficiencies around the programming and our administrative structures, as well as enhance our interprofessional education among all of our health science programs. So we are excited with this initiative, and we're undertaking all of the fine details to put it in place for fall. We've also worked with the faculty for over a year and the students, so they are aware, and we're building cohesion between the groups with a variety of activities to bring them all together. I will also report that Dr. Jeremy Hughes, who was the associate dean for the College of Pharmacy, has now moved into the Office of Academic Affairs as the Associate Provost for Academic Innovation. We also are excited to announce that this summer we are implementing 6 summer camps. This is our initiative to, one, encourage exploration of some of the degrees that we have here, but also to serve our community. We have a reading, writing, STEAM camp, which is for from 3 to 12-year-olds. We also have a health science program where it's introducing to health professions for high schoolers. We have a future teachers camp for high schoolers. We have a quantum science camp that was for high schoolers that just ended on Friday. With a wonderful celebration with the parents and the students. We also have Upward Bound, which is for high schoolers, and we have our engineering prep program, which serves middle school as well as high schoolers. So we're excited to have the activity on campus this year, and we've gotten an extremely positive response from our community, who is saying we're glad to see the summer programs back in force. I do want to present, though, 3 resolutions for today. The first one is Professor Emeritus for Dr. Brenda Agahawa. She joined Chicago State University in 1997. And has served diligently as chair as well as faculty. She is a profuse author and is known for her books around Barbara Jordan, as well as articles around Black rhetoric and language justice. She has met all the requirements of Professor Emeritus and has been approved by her faculty, her dean, as well as the Provost and President's Office. So I'd like to recommend Dr. Brenda Agahawa for Professor Emeritus as she retires actually on June 30th.
Are there any questions or comments from the trustee on this resolution? Can I get a motion to approve Professor Emeritus resolution regarding Dr. Brenda Agahawa? I need a motion.
So moved.
A second, please.
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zop?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you, Dr. Roundtree. I think you have a couple more.
A second resolution is for tenure for Dr. Carolyn Rogers. She is a new hire for the Chair of Public Health. She comes to us with extensive experience in public health and accreditation, which will be a priority for her position. She has been reviewed by faculty, dean, as well as the provost and president's office, and meets the requirements. for teaching superiority and teaching scholarship and service. And so we would like to recommend her for tenure and rank as full professor.
Any questions from the board? Can I get a motion to approve the tenure resolution for Dr. Carolyn Rogers?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you, Provost Roundtree. I think you have one more.
Yes, the last one is a five-year renewal of a Watermark contract. The Watermark contract is the electronic system that manages our faculty portfolios as well as our retention and promotion activities. And it will now incorporate our student evaluations. As part of our examining efficiencies, we are now changing contracts. We had a separate student evaluation system. We're going to use the same system now that handles our portfolios, and we think this will also be a cost savings for us. And that five-year contract exceeds the requirement of $250,000. So we are requesting the renewal of this contract.
All right, any questions regarding the renewal of the Watermark Insights contract or resolution? Hearing none, may I get a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Dr.
So that's the end of my report, and I'll call Dr. Potlori.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Chair Job.
Good morning,
President
Dr.
Scott,
Potlori.
Board members, Provost. Next slide. So I'm just going to give you a few numbers and then I'll wait for your questions. That's much easier. So if you look at the first slide, you see the comparison for the last 3 years where we are at this stage. It's not the final numbers. So we are maintaining, if you recall your previous numbers from about 4 years ago, we have gone up almost 20-25% in the graduate school, and we are maintaining that at that level so far. So you see that numbers from the 20th June, and the numbers are still holding steady at this point. Next slide. There is a minor correction. I apologize on your slides, and we corrected it on this side. It's not admitted, it's submitted on the first one. So these are the number of applications we get. That's again comparison. You can see that 530, 772 last year. We are 603 so far. Our deadline is July 15th for the graduate school, and for the MBA, it's actually August 15th, so we are still far away from the deadline, and so we are expecting more applications. If you look at the second line on that one, in progress, so last year we had 894 people started, didn't submit, so this year we still have 742 still didn't submit, so we reach them by phone and by email and social media and every possible venue we can do it. So we are seeing some results by contacting them personally, so we are hoping we'll get applications like last year. Next slide. So this is enrollment. It's the total enrollment for the 2 years, 2021 and 2022. You can see that 680 and 735 for the fall. So far this year, our enrollment, this is total enrollment, 340. Most of our students come, almost 30-40% students actually enroll almost in August, not right now. So we are hoping we will at least stay flat, if not grow a percent or two higher. And again, to remind you, the submission for our applications is still July 15th and August 15th, so we still hope we can do it. The total enrollment, of course, also depends on the retention. And we have graduated actually the largest number of graduate students this fall. If you look at your numbers, we have graduated more graduate students than the undergraduate students. So that puts a little bit more pressure on us to make sure that we keep up with the numbers. We are trying our best. what we do last semester, we had, we changed our way of marketing. We are mostly virtual. We found out that on-campus things don't work for the graduate school. People are working, they're not coming. So virtual sessions, we had 5 sessions in the whole semester in the spring for the fall admissions. One general, and then we also started doing the program-specific ones, most importantly the larger programs like counseling, social work, occupational therapy, college of education as a college, and so those are the more, and then criminal justice, those are the 5 programs, plus international students, mostly computer science and public health. I'm happy to inform you we are getting a lot more interest in the public health from West African countries. We're getting a lot more, I'm seeing a lot more applications from there. Again, it's personal information passing on to our colleagues in West African universities when we have colleagues, but it's showing up in the number of applications we are receiving. We are hoping to convert them into admissions. At this stage, I'll conclude my report and wait for any questions with the permission of Chair Jha.
Are there any questions for Dr. Patlari on the graduate school and graduate student enrollment? Well, thank you very much and good luck with the rest of the summer. Keep our fingers crossed. All right, and now I see that Essence is here and we will have our student trustee report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing?
We're doing well.
How are you?
Everyone behind me. I'd first like to start off with my journey here. My journey here at Chicago State University has been a long one, and it's coming to an end in May. Congratulations to me. I also would like to say that being the student trustee was never a plan for me when I first got to Chicago State University. I came from high school. I was a student school board representative, so I have already was kind of privy to being a representative of the students to our school board. So when I seen this position, I'm like, hey, that's something I've done before, you know, maybe I can try this on a collegiate level. And it has been the best decision I've ever made here at Chicago State University. I'd like to thank everyone who has supported me, who has helped me with my lateness, excuse me. But it's all been a learning experience, and it's been a great one. The next thing I would like to talk about, student engagement. Student engagement here at Chicago State University has been a very, not to say for lack of better words, concerning thing, but it has been a priority to everyone here at Chicago State University. And I've seen it rise and I've seen it decline, and I would like to say for the past 3 years, I think everyone has done a great job. Next, COVID-19. I joined the student as a student trustee here at Chicago State University in 2020, which was the height of the pandemic. That was not easy. I was not able to come in person and have board meetings. I had to get on Zoom like everyone else and, you know, conduct life. I would say that was definitely a hard thing for Chicago State University, and I want to acknowledge everyone for working hard during the pandemic and after the pandemic. We have came a long way. As someone who is always at events, seeing students not here and then to see students here, like, it's a party, like huge things going on campus, from silent parties, yard parties. What else do we have? The Heritage Ball, just a lot of different things on campus that have definitely heightened the student engagement. Again, I'd like to say everyone did a great job with that. From a student perspective, a lot of students don't get to see the work that goes into running a university, and being in this position has definitely showed me the hard work that everyone does here. From a student perspective, you think when something's going on, you're like, oh no, that's Chicago State University. Chicago State University is this, and people tend to go in a negative direction, but getting a student perspective, I like to say everyone works very hard for Chicago State University. And I'd like to thank everyone and give everyone a round of applause for being our wonderful administration. Again, I'd like to thank everyone for this opportunity. I will not be the student representative to this Board of Trustees next year, but I'll still be here, so you'll see me on the court at basketball games or the cheerleading team. But again, thank everyone for this opportunity. I've had fun, I've learned a lot, I developed as a woman, and thank you.
This concludes my report.
Essence, before you step back, I just want to say on behalf of the board to thank you. You've had an impressive term as the student trustee. You've been engaged. You've shared issues with us. You have been honest. Most importantly, you have been honest and direct. So all your reports haven't been super pretty and everything's perfect, right? And that's your job, right, to tell us the good and the bad. And you've done that with grace and integrity and respect. And so you've represented your fellow students very well. And we will miss you, and we wish you the best in your senior year, and we expect you to come back and report when you're close to finishing so we can go woo-hoo with you again. So thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next up is Oscar Rodriguez for our Vice President of Enrollment Management to give the Enrollment Management Report.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Give me just one moment to open up my slide so I find myself not looking to one side or the other. Good morning again, and I'm pleased to present this report for enrollment management to this June 23rd meeting of the Board of Trustees. We're at this time of the year when it comes to enrollment management for the fall that really what we're doing is we're trying to maximize the fall. For some institutions, they've done this, they live on a cycle where they complete most of what they're doing in May. Chicago State is not one of those universities, and because of that, we engage in multiple different strategies in order to try and maximize our enrollment for the fall. Primarily, it revolves on three big strategies. First is to increase the number of applications. So we'll continue to take applications through midsummer. Applications will certainly slow down, but we will certainly see a few more as we go through the remainder of summer. We will attempt to convert students who've been admitted who have not told us they're coming to students who will tell us they're coming in the fall. And then the last thing that we'll do is we'll go ahead and try and help those students who've in fact told us that they were coming complete the steps that they need to complete in order to enroll successfully in the fall. In other words, try and reduce summer melt. So give you an idea of the kinds of things that the offices are doing on campus is we're leveraging a July 15th closeout date for both applications and for admitted students who submit their intent to enroll. What this tends to do, young people tend to respond to deadlines. So when you put a concrete deadline in front of a student, when you tell them the deadline has passed, students who perhaps were waiting, perhaps haven't completed something, or perhaps were unaware that they had one more thing to do, will in fact contact the institution, will work with them, and will actually make sure that they make their way successfully here to campus. We're leveraging college relationships with college counselors, such as the CPS College Compact. Many high school counselors and many transfer counselors are working during the summer in order to help students do the last minute things that they need to do in order to successfully transition away from their institutions, and we'll be working with those agencies. We're of course engaging in calling campaigns, so students who are missing one thing or another, or perhaps have told us that they're not coming or don't know that they're coming, calling them, trying to see if there's anything we can do, any kinds of information that they may need in order to change their mind over the summer. We're working right now to engage in an SMS campaign to text students to try and encourage students to complete the next step, and obviously doing some other personalized kinds of things. So for example, when students attend orientation, but perhaps they don't attend for one reason or another, certainly we're calling, certainly we're sending emails, but certainly we're also doing things like sending handwritten notes saying, hey, we missed you at orientation. Is there something we can do to help get you to orientation to be able to enroll for the fall? So lots of activity on campus, not just within the admissions office, not just from the financial aid office, but in the Dean of Students office and also on the advising offices on campus. It truly is a campus-wide effort to try and maximize enrollment. At the same time, we're currently preparing for fall 2023-24. So this is the time of year where we look back at 22-23, what worked, what didn't work, what could we have done differently, perhaps how could we be a bit more strategic in order to try and get the most out of the team that we have. We're gonna be restructuring our recruitment territories next fall. So there was a great effort this year to try and increase the number of institutions that we were in fact visiting. We saw over 250 institutions this year. It's a dramatic increase from the previous year. But we'll be focusing a bit more on Chicago, the Chicagoland suburbs. Last week, funny enough, when I was mentioning to people that we were thinking about spending a bit more time in Central Illinois, serendipitously enough, we had a group from Urbana High School on campus. So there is a market in Central Illinois, in Peoria, Champaign, Danville, et cetera, for Chicago State, and we'll be spending time there trying to cultivate that relationship with those schools and with those students. And finally, we'll be spending a bit more time in predominantly Latino, Latina institutions on the south side of the city. As we're all aware, there's a demographic changes happening in the state of Illinois, and Chicago State State University, in order to maintain healthy enrollments, in order to grow into healthy enrollments, we absolutely need to continue focusing on African-American student populations, as it is our core identity as PBI, but we also need to start shifting over into the Latino-Latina community and attempt to become a Hispanic-serving institution as well. We can maintain both designations at the institution. We're aligning our campus engagement with respective student availability. Partners on campus may not be so happy when we start asking for more nights and evenings, but we'll be doing that to try and meet students where they're at. We'll be focusing on high quality and speedy service as a North Star. It is incredibly important in an Amazon-like world that we behave and respond quickly and behave in a manner that students are expecting, are respectful and mindful of who they are and what they're in fact asking for. And we're collecting data, and we'll be shepherding data to the campus in a segmented way so it's more actionable for them as campus partners. We're utilizing a handful of new prospective student search services, marketing services this year. We're pretty excited about some of those. An example is Niche, which is the largest nationwide student search service. It's both used for new student, first-year students and transfers. We're going to focus a bit more on long-term on-ramps for transfer adult students and returning adult students and new adult students. We've got a meeting scheduled tomorrow, as a matter of fact, to work with the only firm I know in the nation that, in fact, is doing this type of work, and we're probably going to be joining them on a Lumina grant to be able to provide it to Chicago State at no cost for a year, so pretty excited about where we're moving there. We'll also be conducting a student survey in the following year to determine market positions and perceptions about Chicago State in order to align what it is that we're doing along with refreshing recruitment materials and collateral. Now, that's a great deal of work. That's a lot to ask of teams, small teams, and of campus partners. So how are we going to do all of this work? Our work for the next year is primarily going to be focused around how it is that we implement our new Slate CRM. As many of you are aware, we've had challenges with trying to implement a different CRM tool. We were able to pivot and move into Slate this year. We're excited to move into it for next fiscal year. We've actually been working on it for about a week and a half. Even as I got here at 8 a.m., I was at my desk working on fields and prompts for the CRM. So we're currently in implementation phase, having conversations with campus partners and trying to determine what it is that their needs are to remove not only the pain points within the admissions operation, but for the campus as a whole as we're trying to enroll students on campus. We're integrating the Honors College, we're integrating Rice Academy, we're going to support Call Me Mr. and Diverse Scholars in these processes. We're going to do expedited applications for dual enrollment students. So when a dual enrollment student is here on campus, they can very shortly after they've been here for a week or two or three and the application is open, we'll receive a letter from us saying that they've been admitted to Chicago State because we know their academic credentials because we've received it for dual enrollment. And again, focus on actionable transactional reporting so that we know what's happening at any given time with the funnel and then respond accordingly in order to try and address those things. We'll be deploying Slate in a just-in-time fashion. In other words, it's a big tool, and we won't be able to do everything all at once. So we'll launch the application, the communications portion, and the application review portion by September. We'll bring financial aid into the CRM by November, December this year. If any of you have actually seen financial aid notification letters, you know that they're atrocious. They're atrocious nationwide. A lot of that, in fact, has to do with legislation from the federal government and what we must include in a notification letter. However, once that letter is delivered, we could, in fact, communicate it in a different manner that's far more understandable, far more attractive, and far more appealing to students as they get that information. We plan to be able to do that. We'll be engaging in some real-time print and SMS campaigns and some other mailing that we haven't been able to do in the past because they're connected to the CRM, so we're pretty excited about what we'll be able to do in the year and ongoing cycles. One final other update. I thought we'd give you the numbers and where we are in the moment for the fall. So as you can see, we've admitted almost 3,000 undergraduate first-year students for this coming up fall, and we've received 247. We're actually up to 248 today. new transfer students. We were at 297 admitted students, 149 intent to enrolls. We're actually up to 221 intent to enrolls for transfer students. So right now, all the trends look good for us. I expect that at least for first-year students, we'll surpass our pre-pandemic year, which was our year that we were at our biggest numbers in the last handful of years. And there's still a great deal of work to be done for transfers, but we're pretty excited about where we lie. And we think there's a good opportunity for us to have a year that matches our pre-pandemic year, which is a gigantic emotional milestone for the campus that we hope to achieve sooner rather than later. And as we move through the implementation of CRM, I expect that we'll see even more positive results. Again, some work to be done, give you a sense of where we are in terms of orientation. I did not check the numbers this morning, so I can't give you an absolute update on these, but it gives you a sense of where student interest is and where students are in fact attending. So students will in fact respond to that June 30th number. We expect that number will grow to more than 125 or 150 by the end of this month, and we'll pick up the rest in July, and the one late orientation that we'll host in August that's not listed on that slide. Finally, in terms of staffing, we had our first candidate for the Assistant Vice President and Director of Admissions on Friday. It was a good conversation, and we were happy with the qualifications candidate that we received, and we're in the process of getting our final two candidates scheduled soon. Our enrollment communications and marketing position is posted and receiving applications as we speak, and then in order to align with what it is that we're attempting to do with the CRM and the enrollment strategies that we'll be rolling out for the campus in August, adult learner, bilingual enrollment specialist, and then our processor will be brought on board in relative short order. So we're pretty excited about where we're at with enrollment management, and happy to take any questions that you might have.
Thanks so much for that very thorough report, Vice President Rodriguez. I have a couple questions. The first is, you said you're going to be focusing, I think rightfully so, on Latinx and Hispanic students. How are we on bilingual staff to support those students when they're here?
Sure. So they're in the process right now at the Latino Resource Center of trying to get that center up and fully staffed. And then on our team, we'll certainly be adding a Spanish speaker. The Spanish speaker, frankly, for everyone, we always tend to focus on having a number of bilingual people on staff, and it's mostly for the parents. So my big concern is, can we get in front of the parents, speak in a manner that's comfortable for them, so it's understandable for them? And I have faith that we'll get there relatively soon.
Right. And then my second question is, as you noted, you have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, implementing a CRM program is horrifying when you don't have a lot going on. So I'm just wondering the upside is it will improve things for people, and when it gets there, it improves, you know, their world and their ability to do what they do. The downside is the getting there can be painful. I'm just wondering, how are you thinking about training and getting people up to speed without overwhelming them on top of their daily work?
Sure. So luckily, Slate is a CRM that has grown tremendously in the last 7 or 8 years. It was a tool that was created primarily for admissions operations, and then it grew to be enrollment management operations. Then it's used widely across institutions for lots of different purposes. The reason I start there is that we have people on campus, and we have members of the team who have, in fact, used Slate at different institutions, so there's an awareness about it already. The second piece is, obviously, using the tool is different than implementing the tool. So there's a bit of a challenge there where we're growing and working hard to do that. Much like I rolled my sleeves up and jumped in and was completing applications, creating manual applications in February, rolling my sleeves up and in Slate with the team, making sure that we're doing and prioritizing the right kinds of things. It's important that everyone is aware that we are, in fact, doing it in a just-in-time fashion, a la Toyota's production methods. So, for example, there were certain things that I know we will not have in place for spring or for fall, but we will have them in place for spring with enough uptime there. We have, in fact, mapped out when we're bringing people on board for training and who we're bringing on board for training. So obviously the most critical piece is making sure that we have the admissions team trained first and foremost, and then the admissions related team. So this is dual enrollment, Dr. Wadlington. This is the members of RISE Academy, the members who are involved in SuccessU, making sure that they understand. I'm sure that we will find lots of things that we did not consider. I am positive that once we do one positive, the joke is this, is that once people see that you can do something that impacts their work in such a manner, that it will be shared with the rest of the campus, and I expect what's gonna happen is that we're gonna say, wait a minute, we need to prioritize what parts we can roll out for who in year two, two and a half, three, three and a half. I expect that will be fully implemented in various different parts of campus, helping improve transparency of data first and foremost, and then efficiency of their own processes over the course of 2 to 3 years. I expect that there will be, much like the pandemic is pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, I expect that Chicago State will be pre-slate and post-slate.
Well, I think the staging is really, really important, and I'm happy to hear it both in the implementation and in the training. So thank you. Are there any other questions for Vice President Rodriguez?
I do have a question. I heard that you, well, not her, as you were giving your presentation, I noticed that you mentioned working a little harder for Latinx students. What are we currently doing for the African-American students that we have at Chicago State University?
Okay, so everything that we do, we try to put through. I cannot speak to pre my arrival. I can simply say that since November 1st, everything that we do, we try to put it through an African-American lens. So when I say that, oftentimes people sort of look at me a little bit weird, and they think, well, what do you mean by that? So for example, we're working with a marketing firm, and they wrote a handful of engagement surveys for prospective students who've been admitted, right? And they go ahead and they provide us the template and everything looks great, except when they provided the list of movies, the movies didn't really include films that were important in the African-American community. So the first thing you do is you stop and say, okay, this is a great email, I get it, but this is not reflective of who it is that we're trying to recruit. So we took it out to the team looked at it, the team scratched everything out, and the team put appropriate movies down. And then we went out with the survey, right? So it's exactly that. It's looking at what it is that you're producing and then trying to share it with the team that you have and say, hey, does this make sense in the Black experience, right? So I would suggest that we try to do that first and foremost for African-American students. And then how we're going to do it for Latina students is we're going to have to scale back a little tiny bit. And this whole idea of we understand you here, we will take care of you here, because we are like you, is going to be central to what our messaging is, right? 70% of our faculty are people of color. Other institutions simply can't say that, right? So when we say we understand you here, we mean it. Our staff understand you, our faculty understand you, and that message will resonate there as well. Got to get a couple Spanish speakers for mommy and papi, but you know, we'll work on that. But the message is always first and foremost. What can we do for the, does this resonate or will this resonate in the Black community?
Any other questions?
No.
And
thank you.
And we'll be reaching out to use you in the future as well. So rest assured, you're not done.
Okay. Thank you, Vice President Rodriguez. Great report.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Next, we are, I call on Dr. Monique Carroll, who's going to give us an update from the athletics program.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have finished out this academic year, this competitive year. So I have a couple of highlights and updates that we have as a department. So today we'll just go through with the, we'll start with the new hires and promotions. We have hired two people since the last board meeting. We fired Jared Lyons as our assistant AD for business operations. He's joined us here today. He will oversee all of our budget management, fiscal responsibilities, keeping us on track, all of our revenue growth that we will have in the future. He is our guy to oversee that and our business processes. We've also hired Ramsey Hufford. He's our learning specialist. His role is to meet with our student athletes that we deem at risk daily, weekly, monthly, and ensure that they are on track to graduate from CSU in a timely fashion. We have a new promotion in Julie Hall. Julie Hall has been in higher education over 20 years. We lucked up on Julie Hall. She actually started the first day I started here at Chicago State, but she has an extensive background in fundraising, academics, and student affairs, and has served our students well throughout her tenure here. So she's been promoted to Deputy Athletic Director and Senior Women Administrator. The next part of my presentation is student athlete accomplishments. This was one, I had to get it down to about two slides, but I have three pages of all the things we accomplished this year. One of the things I tell my team is we are trying to do a lot of things and we're trying to do them fast, but we do have to take time to recognize the things that we are doing really well. And so the first spotlight, we have the SGA president and the SGA vice president for this upcoming academic year will both be student athletes. We have Danina Hughes, who's on our women's tennis team, and we have Ja'Kai Smith, who's on our men's track and field team. Next, we have, this is just two of our many student athletes that have internships this summer. This is another office within our academic unit, encouraging them to work with career services to get internships. So after sports, they can have a career after sports. So Veda Williams is one of our interns, as well as Ajay, both are men's golf student athletes. Both of them are actually with the first tee, one in Charleston. This summer, spending time with their internships for their majors. Other leadership spotlights we've had, we were able to take five of our student athletes to the Black Student Athlete Summit in California. There were over 500 universities represented. It was hosted on the campus of USC. It was a transformational experience for them. This was Chicago State's first time participating in that programming, and it gave our student athletes a chance to be around other Black student athletes to talk about the challenges and the opportunities that exist for them to lead on campus. And they've come back with a lot of good activity. Now they're finding conferences and asking me to send them to those. So we'll work on a full program leadership for our student athletes. But this is a good thing, and was glad that we got to take these five student athletes. So as far as on the competition space for the student athletes, this academic year we have four all-conference performers, five Player of the Week honorees, 11 all-academic conference performers, and we had 12 records broken. One of the things with the 12 records that does not include our men's distance medley relay that broke their own record twice. A lot of you say not just in a leadership capacity, but they are raising the standard of competition for Chicago State. The four and five, we only have two teams were in a conference last year. So when you look at that number, that is just our men's and women's tennis program from last year. And then at the bottom, we also had a top play on SportsCenter. So we were featured as the number one play. One of our men's basketball student athletes hit a game-winning shot against the Citadel. We won the game. We got a big check for going. And he was featured as the number one play on SportsCenter. The STOLE ceremony. So for those that can make it with us, you heard me say it then, I'll say it again. This is the highlight of why I do what I do. Able to stand up with our graduates all the way from summer 22 to present and present them with their STOLE for being a student athlete, recognize them for their accomplishments, and then leave them with a small parting gift on behalf of Chicago State Athletics. So that is something we will do going forward every term. To recognize our student athletes and just continue to make sure that we celebrate them for doing the thing they came here to do, which is graduate. Our head coaches also had accomplishments this academic year. Our women's soccer coach, she has the most victories in program history, so she set that record. Our women's basketball won six of their final nine games, which is the best since 2011-2012. Our men's basketball most wins in the last two seasons. His 18 wins are more than any coaches combined in our history for a two-year span. And our volleyball has the same thing. 25 wins over the two seasons are the most in the program history. Men's basketball also went undefeated at home. So as we're making our schedule for next year, we want to protect our court. But our coaches did do a lot of great things. As we continue once again to elevate the competitive experience here at Chicago State. Conference alignment. So since our last meeting, we have secured an affiliate membership in the Ohio Valley Conference for men's soccer, men's golf, and women's golf. That is for the next 3 years. We have also received an invitation to return to the Horizon League for the next 2 years in men and women's tennis. We have in Orlando about 2 weeks ago, I hosted commissioners and athletic directors during the our national convention. Was a well-received meeting, has led to some follow-ups. Just continue to educate people about Chicago State University, all of these accomplishments, all the things our student athletes and our coaches are doing. We do still have a roster of independent sports for next fall, so we're filling out those schedules and then working very hard to get us into a conference for fall 24 and beyond. And that concludes my report. Open for any questions.
That was an outstanding report. Congratulations.
So can you tell us when you joined Chicago State? Right.
September 1st.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So that's an incredible year you've had and really elevating our sports, our athletes, our coaches, and the program as a whole. And we really want to just congratulate you for all the hard work. And for those of us who've been here for a few years, to have the basketball team have an undefeated season at home is kind of like, what? So that in and of itself is a huge accomplishment. But really, you came in hard, and that's fantastic. Your energy, your enthusiasm, and your love for the students and what they do is so evident. So you have much to be proud of in your very first year, and we want to congratulate you. So thank you, Dr. Carroll.
You got a couple more months, but thank you.
Any other comments, questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to move on to Do You Know, and I'm going to ask Professor Roxanne Stevenson to come up and give us an update on the CSU marching band, the Marching Soul of Chicago.
Good morning,
Professor Stevenson.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
All right, so we're going to see if we can switch this out for a minute. And I like to say, yes, we get to support the basketball team, so it's great. We play whether we win or lose, but when you guys win, it really, really feels good. So, but we are, put in a place that we can actually get Chicago State University in the news for a lot of things, and that's what I like to see us just in the news for a lot of the positive things that we do here. And I know President Scott presented on the marching band when we first started it, 2019, 2020, 2021. So I'm going to take it from there. But we started in 2019. Now, I've been here since 1992. Every president wanted a marching band. Seven presidents wanted a marching band. But President Scott said, we're going to have a marching band. And I was like, here we go. I said, all right. If you support it, I'll get it started. I had one, because our students are older, and we all know that. I had one student that was really eligible to march in the band, and we ended up starting the marching band with 38. So just over the course of the summer, we built it to that. As you all know, I mean, that was a great job. The retention was really good, too. We retained 82% of those students. But after that, we had the pandemic, the second semester of the marching band. So I'm going to go to the slide here. We started with the next one. Sorry. Okay, now hold it there. So starting 2021, we knew that we needed to do something to recruit students here because our biggest competition are the HBCUs, you know, because our students are heavily recruited and they are heavily scholarshiped by, you know, the HBCUs. So what we did was put together a presentation, and actually my daughter did this. So this is the video that we started out for our recruitment initially. Yeah. We're just gonna play a little bit of it. You all recognize our theme song, right? Right. So that's our theme song. We put that together, and I don't know if you noticed, high school students are beginning to play that all over the city. So we did our final concert with the concert band and marching band back in May. We had four high schools represented, and when we got to the marching band part and we did our Cougar Shuffle, I told all the kids to come up, and they just started, they ran all up to the front, and all of the schools were doing the dance, which is what we like to see, is that means that they're watching and they're paying attention to us. So 2021 to 2022, we had 30, we were back up to 38 students in the band. Of those students, 22 were returning students, and this is after the pandemic. That is 22 of the band students were returning. We have an 84% retention rate if we can include the band members and the returning flags and the returning dancers. So our total enrollment for 2021 to 22 was 38 students. We had one flag student graduate that year. Next slide. So the following semester, because we were doing this semester by semester, we had four students that didn't return. One was not eligible to return, and one had family concerns, and two needed to do some enhancement for their academic progress. We also had another graduate, a band member graduate, and the four flag students no longer continued with flags, but they stayed in the school. That's what's really important. We want them to stay, even if they can't, because band is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. If they don't, you know, continue in band, that's fine. We just don't want them to leave the school. So with the next slide. So 2022-2023, we're up to 50 members. You don't always get to see them, and we all know why. We don't see them all at the same time because of our scheduling here at Chicago State. We have classes all day, and we have freshmen, sophomores with night classes, you know, and so it's really hard to get everybody at the same time, but if you catch some of the Saturday events, you will hear that see the entire band. So for 22-23, we had 16 new students. 13 were recruited for band, and 3 joined after they were already admitted at Chicago State. And we had 9 dancers. We did not continue the flag team. We are looking for someone to be in charge of that, you know, as well as in charge of the dancers. So we do have someone who will be in charge of dancers this semester. We're still working on the flag team. Saying that out loud, just in case there's some takers here.
Anybody here has some experience? Jump in.
Right. So with retention and what we're noticing, that we're keeping between the 82 and 84% retention rate. So the students don't always stay in the band, but they stay in the school. All right, for the next slide. So for second semester, we had 2 graduates, but we actually had 4 graduates because I didn't include the band manager and the young lady that was working with the dance team because they graduated also. So we actually had 4 graduates. 6 discontinued this year in different reasons, paternity, maternity. Only 2 were gone for academic problems, and 2 left school. Well, they are in Europe now, so one is on tour, and one's the blues guy. If you want to see him, Jemiah Rogers, he's on tour, and Isaiah Collier's on tour. So when they come back, hopefully they'll come back to school. So we're working on trying to keep them engaged if we can through online courses. So with the next one, So what I did was put together data from 2019 to 2023. If we count all the students that have participated in a band, there have been 86 members. 3 of them transferred, 16 are not here with us anymore for different reasons. 3 were taken, they took a time away, but they will be returning, at least they plan to return. 7 of them left the band but remained at CSU. And if you notice that we really have, our students have many majors, So sometimes their majors will not allow them to stay in band. We don't have, the only college I think we don't represent here is the College of Pharmacy. I don't have any pharmacy students, but we have music, art, biochem, chemistry, criminal justice, psychology, pre-nursing, business administration, accounting, pre-occupational therapy majors in the marching band. So we recruit, and I tell them, I don't care what you major in, I just care that you participate. So we give them the scholarship money, but the good thing is if they don't stay in the band, it's a win-win for us. You know, we'd like for them to stay because we want to be huge. But if they don't stay, they stay at Chicago State. They become, you know, a part of our tuition, a part of our community, and they still enjoy being here. So that's a good part. Our average GPA for our first report in 2020, that semester, that year, 2019-2020, was a 2.73. The average this year, 22-23, is a 2.745. And we'd like for it to be higher. There was one outlier, but my integrity wouldn't let me leave that person out. So I'm like, man, if we leave them out, we'd be almost at 3 point, which is still really good because of the time that it takes to be a part of the marching band. So if you see the young ladies there, one of them works for Chicago State now. She graduated, it's a clarinet player. One is a singer, she just happened to be in the picture, a flag person and a trombone player who's in grad school at Vandercook at this time. Oh, and the flag person is in grad school at Northwestern University. So that's where we were with the slide, but I was trying to look to see that I spoke to everything I was asked to speak to. I was asked about performances, and we do perform a lot. We just listing some for the elementary schools, Esmond Elementary School, Western Avenue Elementary School in Flossmoor, Golder College Prep, Hansberry High School, Thornwood High School, Thornton High School, Morgan Park, Joliet Central, Waukegan High School. We did a Juneteenth ceremony. We did the Chicago Halloween Parade, which was our first parade off campus. It was really nice. It was a nighttime parade, and that was the first
the
time
parade
anyone,
downtown?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice parade.
Right. That was the first time anyone had, outside of here, had seen the marching band in a parade. And we were kind of wondering what it's going to be like because it was kind of cold. We don't have real uniforms. We just have a jogging suit, you know. And but we looked good. It sounded good. And we ended up on television. We were just there as a part of the DuSable Museum. It wasn't really our spot. We were just there with them. But it was a really good time. We do, I run the marching band competition for the Chicago Classics yearly. And so what we did, we had the drumline do an exhibition for the beginning of that competition. Our students played for Vic Mensa's Get Out the Vote promotion. And there's an artist here called Femi, which is an African artist. So our drumline played for them, which was also being streamed in Africa. And it was a really interesting time because, you know, we do 15 minutes late, they do an hour, 2 hours late, so it was a really long performance, but it was really great and our students really appreciate it. We performed at Fellowship Baptist Church. We've done a pavilion at one of the other high schools. And for the NBA All-Star Prayer Meeting, that was at Salem Baptist Church, we were the marching band. We actually marched through the beginning of the prayer meeting for the basketball teams. We've done the gospel recitals here at Chicago State. So we've done many of the we call open houses. And we've done about 38 basketball games, male and female, over the course of this time. So it's a lot being in the marching band. We start our band camps. We start at 7:30 in the morning. We go all evening. But it would be even more intense if we had a football team. It would be more intense. But our students are enjoying it, and we like to make noise across campus. So if it gets a little too quiet, we go outside, and we march right through the middle, past the library, wake people up, you know. And it's just been a shot in the arm here to have the marching band. So.
Thank you, Professor.
Right.
Thank you for coming to the band.
All right. If there's no questions for Professor Stevenson, it was a great presentation, and really want to thank you for all that you've done with the band. I think for me, one of the most amazing things, it just really goes to your, how great a band leader you are, is we just heard this band. They always sound good, right? Yeah. You know, we have all heard bands that maybe don't sound that good. Our band always sounds good, so thank you.
So thank you. But any other questions?
Yes.
No, we don't do Bud Billiken because it happens before school starts, and it happens before we're able to get into the dorm. It's usually, I think this week, isn't it August 8th or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's weeks before. However, we've done a band camp here before, and we are contemplating doing a band camp with high school students next summer and having that group actually do the Bud Billiken. So it's not something that I think we'll never do. We just need to, if we're going to do it, it has to be that we're able to start early in the semester. I mean, get the students on campus early. And the problem with it being that early in the year is that what do they do for the next 2 weeks before school starts? So it's just not, it's kind of counterproductive right now. But it's something we would do, and if we do it, we would lead the parade. And then we do it.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to turn this over, and I just want to note that in accordance with the Board of Trustees bylaws, Article 5, Section 1B, I have designated Trustee Angelique David, Chair of the Finance and Audit Committee. I think all of the trustees know, but just in case you don't, Trustee Schneider, his term expired, and he has decided not to seek us an additional term, and so we needed a new chair of the Finance and Audit Committee, and Trustee David was very gracious to agree to serve, and so I'm going to now turn it over to her so she can preside over the report. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now I will call on Ms. Nicole Latimer-Williams, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Financial Operations, to present the budget in two resolutions.
I'd say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
My name is Nicole Latimer-Williams. I've been here a little over 90 days now. Day one, I was immersed into the UPI discussions, and I have to tell you that those are the moments where you see people rise to the top and do their best. And so I was able to observe and be part of a leadership team that was operating at the top of their game, trying to make sure that we go through the negotiations and get the right size of the organization and continue to move forward. So what I'll have for you today are several action items, actually. For FY24 budget and spending plan, we had the FY24 tuition and waiver fees. We have the FY25 operating budget proposal, and then we also have my very last action item is for the campus building automation system services contract approval. So for our FY24 preliminary operating budget and spending plan, we receive state appropriated dollars in the Education Assistance Fund of $39.3 million, $3 million in CSU Improvement Fund, and $307,000 from the General Professions Dedicated Fund for the Pharmacy Program, for a total FY24 state appropriated fund of $42.6 million. This represents a 6% increase over our FY23 total state appropriations, or a 7% increase over our base EAF fund. Our FY24 preliminary spending from the local income fund is a sum total of $21 million, and that is based on projected net tuition and fees of $18.8 million. And based on our enrollment projection of 51,117 annual credit hours, which is slightly higher than our FY23 estimated enrollment. The preliminary spending plan for our LI fund includes a projected deficit of $2.2 million. This will be funded from our LI carryover funds from FY23. Our preliminary revenue projections and the non-appropriated funds total $13.4 million coming from student mandatory fee income and revenues from auxiliary services. Our preliminary spending plan for a non-appropriated fund, however, totals $14.8 million, and that is largely stemming from our support in the athletics program. Our projected deficit in the appropriate and non-appropriated funds will be covered by a one-time local income, covered by our local income fund totaling $3.6 million. We conservatively estimate that we will receive $10.9 million in non-financial aid from federal, state, and city grants for FY24. So our total preliminary operating budget spending plan is $89.4 million from all sources of funds. I will stop there if there's any questions on the FY24.
Are there any questions or comments from the trustees?
I would also like to note, since we're not doing slides, it just a reminder, and I know everybody knows this, but just for the room at large, all of these materials have been distributed to the board in our board effect book. We've all seen them, reviewed them, had a previous conversation with our CFO, so I just want to make it clear that the details of this have been reviewed and seen by the board. Sorry.
Yes.
Didn't interrupt you.
Nope, that's fine. All right. Is there a motion to approve the FY24 preliminary operating budget?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zop?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Please continue with your next resolution.
So next we'll move on to our FY24 tuition and fee waiver allocation. We have two categories of waivers. One is our mandatory waiver. The next one is our discretionary waiver. Our mandatory waiver basically mandates, and it's required by state statute, that we grant students who meet specific parameters or criteria be granted a waiver. And some examples are teachers, special education, ROTC, DCFS, senior citizens, honorary and veteran grants. It's just our examples. And of our mandatory waiver, our FY24 allocation that are mandated by the state are approximately 35% or $494,000. Our discretionary waiver programs are set by the Illinois statute or by CSU that may be awarded at the discretion of the university. Some examples include faculty administrators, civil service employees, athlete gender equity, talent and merit, just to name a few. $243,000 or 17% of the proposed FY24 waivers are for employees, which are part of the state employee benefits. Our athletic gender equity is $170,000, and that's required by state. And it is subject to 1% of our total tuition. So only 35% or $489,000 of these proposed waivers will be awarded at the discretion of the university. Our total undergraduate waivers is $900,000, and our total graduate for the total waivers is $496,000 for a FY24 waiver allocation of $1.39 million for FY24.
Yeah, Ms.
My apologies, I thought this was in there.
Yeah, no, just so you know, the waiver resolution's not on the agenda and was not previously presented to the board, so we'll have to do that in September. We may if we have a meeting between now and September, we can add it back.
Sure.
But we can't do it today.
Right. So, my apologies.
No problem.
So we will just take that as information only.
Right.
And handle that at a later board meeting. FY 25 operating capital budget requests.
Yes.
That we have.
Yes. All right. That we have. That's what we were expecting to hear.
Okay. Thank you.
So for this synopsis, the president, vice presidents, in partnership with operating unit heads, developed the university budget request priorities and presented them to the university budget committee earlier this year. There are five subcommittees that makes up the university budget subcommittee. Namely the president's area, academic student affairs, financial operations, enrollment management, and administrative services. There are 10 FY25 operating budget priorities totaling $24.2 million being submitted to the board for approval, and for FY25 capital budget appropriated totaling $70 million. That includes renovations of the Robinson University Center dormitory expansion and the Jacoby Dickens Center, amongst others, are also being presented before the board.
All right. Are there any questions or comments from the trustees? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the FY25 operating and capital budget request resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And final action item is for or regarding our campus building automation system service contract.
Was that submitted?
It's
yes.
On the back. It's on the agenda.
Yeah.
It's on the agenda.
Okay. Please continue.
Chicago State University intends to award 3-year service maintenance agreement and software updates to Siemens Industry, that's located in Carroll Street, Illinois, for the amount not to exceed $581,000. This agreement does not include any options for renewal. The agreement is for the building automation system, which operates and controls the campus heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems. The university has completed the sole source justification process as outlined. The procurement policy board has reviewed and authorized the university to proceed with Siemens as the sole source BAS service maintenance provider. Therefore, I am asking for the approval of the award to go to Siemens Industry, not to exceed $581,000.
I just have one quick question. You said that it has no options for renewal. What does that mean? I mean, does that mean, my only reason for asking that question is, A, it's a sole source contract, B, it's kind of a critical automation piece. So are you saying you'd have to redo the contract, or we'd have to go find somebody else? I was confused by the non-renewal piece of what you said.
I'm going to ask the VP Holmes.
We have to come back again after the contract.
Okay, you're just saying the contract doesn't automatically renew.
Correct.
Okay, so not that
it's not,
it can't
it's not
be
automatically
renewed.
Okay,
not just checking.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm like, what? Right. We're going to start over?
Are there any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the FY 24-26 Siemens campus building automation system renewal contract?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Is Mr. Holmes coming up for anything?
No,
that was Chief Harris. Okay. Thank you. This ends the Finance and Audit Committee report.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Williams. I appreciate it. All right. Well, now we are going to have the Government and External Community Relations report from our Vice President of External Affairs, Aaron Stephen.
Steve Vaught, sorry.
No problem. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share updates on our government affairs and community engagement work. Next slide, please. So I'm pleased to report that we had a tremendous legislative session. We both saw funding increase for universities to the tune of 7%, as well as funding available to students, particularly through two grant programs. I also want to highlight a few legislative accomplishments this session. There's many pieces here, but I want to call out a compromise that we secured on the AIM High Scholarship. So this was created 5 years ago. It was the legislature's big bet on how to keep students in state for college to make us more competitive with out-of-state colleges and universities. However, the way that the scholarship program was designed was not, it was designed with more affluent institutions in mind. And so the way in which it was structured made it difficult for institutions like CSU to fully leverage the resources made available to us because it required a dollar for dollar match for every scholarship dollar that we received. So twice now, including in this last legislative session, we worked with the other public universities to secure a compromise that reduced the matching requirement. And it allowed us to actually more fully use the scholarship offering that was made available to us. And so that was done with all of the public universities' partnership, but we secured that compromise. And the program is now made permanent. I also want to call out growing awareness and leadership of the a few constituencies in the legislature for more equitable distribution of funding in the higher education space. So CSU has been working diligently for years to cultivate understanding of how inequitable our current distribution of funding is and what that means for our students, as well as institutions that are serving the highest number of Black and Latinx and low-income students. So this year, for example, we hosted the Illinois Legislative Latino Caucus. We held several meetings with the Legislative Black Caucus and leadership of the Appropriations and Higher Education Committees. In addition to testifying for our appropriations request, there was a supplemental hearing hosted on the House Appropriations side. And the goal was to understand where there were inequities. As a result of all of this engagement, the Black Caucus held a press conference calling for greater investment in institutions serving our most vulnerable students. This is a big deal. I've been working in this space for 8 years. It is the first time that we have seen legislators calling for deeper investment that recognizes the needs of our students and our equity goals. Much more work needs to be done, but it's an important step, and it only happened because of CSU's diligent engagement. On the federal side, we're doing work to deepen investments for our institution, as well as enhance awareness of who predominantly Black institutions are. On the institutional front, we secured two congressionally directed spending projects, resulting in $2.4 million to our institution. On the predominantly Black institution front, the backdrop is when we started to engage on the Hill, what we learned was that a wide range of stakeholders within the Department of Education, Congress, and more had no idea who predominantly Black institutions are, and that impacts our access to funding and other resources that we need to do our work. So we formed a coalition. There are now 21 campuses engaged. That's an increase from 13 last year. Last fall, we did a advocacy day on the Hill where institutions from six states joined us. We met in the White House with senior leadership of the Department of Education, held a briefing where HBCU advocacy organizations and the president of the National Urban League named that this work was a civil rights crisis. And that was important to build interest of HBCU organizations and congressional members to support this work and not to see it as in conflict with funding and supporting HBCUs. Next. Wanted to give a snapshot of our engagement with the community. Bud Billiken, of course, is a piece of that. Thank you for calling that out. Our goal is to conduct partnerships and activities that not only support enrollment and student success, but also just enhance our brand and allow us to be true partners to community leaders and institutions. Our Bud Billiken presence enhanced significantly over the prior year with a float, 75 volunteers. We're tabling across the community. We're making presentations. We held economic development workshops for leaders on the south side that are looking to bring development to the region, and even did community nights at basketball games to honor community leaders, but also to turn out folks to the games.